How to squeeze Russia without choking the world's economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From 8 p.m. in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison, in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. BP's profits are up ahead of analyst expectations, but also in today's earnings report, the energy company says further sanctions against Russia could be a problem for BP. Let's chat with BBC business reporter Russell Padmore in London, where BP is based. Hello, Russell.
Hello there to you, Mark.
So give a sense of just how exposed BP is in terms of sanctions getting tighter if they do.
Well, you have to look at it from this perspective, Mark. BP is actually the largest foreign investor in Russia. It's got a stake of nearly 20% in the Russian state-owned oil company Rosneft. Now, the oil firm has said up until now that the sanctions which have been imposed have not really been that much of a significant effect on its business in Russia. But today, the company is warning investors that could change.
Now, Europe and the U.S., there are discussions today about potential tighter sanctions, and that has impact on companies like BP, other companies from the U.S. and Europe that do business with Russia. Also, Europe gets a lot of its energy from Russia. So talk about what sanctions are under consideration now and what kind of impact they might have.
Well, it's kind of intriguing up until now. There's been a different approach. Washington, President Barack Obama has really leaned on the European unions to get much tougher with Russia. But there's been the problem here in Europe. There is the worry there are greater trading and economic ties with Russia than the US has. But the EU today is likely to dramatically escalate the sanctions, going beyond targeting individuals and targeting sectors of industry. We could see quite a few sectors outside of the energy sector really hit the arms sector, for example. Measures under consideration might see Russia's access to European capital markets blocked off, and the EU is going to get much, much tougher, Mark.
Okay, BBC's Russell Padmore in London. Thanks very much.
Mark, good being with you. Thank you.
It's shaping up to be a busy week for IPOs, more companies set to go public than in any other week since August of 2000. Shannon Mullen reports on why the rush is on.
The 20-plus companies looking to go public this week hope to raise about $6.7 billion, half of it for General Electric's consumer lending firm, Synchrony Financial. Kathleen Smith with the IPO fund manager Renaissance Capital says this week's other shiny object is Mobileye. They make the tech that tells you when your car might hit the one in front of you.
It has about a 50% share of that market, very high growth and very profitable.
Smith says this week's batch of potential IPOs is a big one for the market to digest. It's also the right kind of market, says John Fitzgibbon with IPO Scoop.
You got to have the bull running down the street. You got to have the wind at its back.
Fitzgibbon thinks this year might even be the best one for IPOs since the dot-com bubble. But he adds a lot of them are fetching discounted prices.
It's like Macy's department store. If it doesn't sell, mark it down and drop it to the basement.
And Fitzgibbon says the end of summer sale is just getting started. I'm Shannon Mullen for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are up in global trading. In Europe, we see the German DAX up about 0.3%. Similar gains for shares in France and the UK up about 0.3%. Asian markets closed up yesterday on Wall Street. The S&P ended close to where it began at 1978. The Dow rose 0.1% to finish at 16,982. America's in a slow transition to cleaner energy, which means carbon-spewing coal power plants are high on the hit list. But we still mine lots of coal in America. AP Energy reporter Dina Capiello's new story looks at what happens to all that coal we're not burning here. Good morning, Dina.
Good morning.
So even in all the debates we have about energy and environment, this question gets very little attention, but it actually matters a whole lot. So where does the coal America doesn't burn itself go?
Well, it goes all over the place. The top five are countries in Europe. We're sending it to South America. We're sending it to Asia. And here in the U.S., we don't count this. You know, it's as if this coal just remained buried.
So this goes to different factories and power plants around the world. And technically, when coal burns, the pollution is not coming from the U.S., but it's still entering the atmosphere that we all share. Why do you think either policymakers or environmentalists are not paying more attention to this issue?
When we first discussed climate policy in this country, we would talk about, you know, manufacturers setting up shop in other countries and that kind of carbon leakage. But when we started talking about climate policy in the 90s, we weren't a big exporter here in the U.S. But whether you look at coal or now gasoline and diesel, we're becoming a bigger exporter on the world market. In terms of the environmental side and the environmental community, I think they are also very focused on getting what they want to get done domestically.
And one of the European countries that you speak of, that you mention in the piece, is Germany. And, you know, America's exporting more coal there, which is kind of surprising because Germans have a strong reputation for green energy and environmentalism. Why are they buying American coal?
Because it's cheap.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the bottom line. I mean, as the energy analyst in the piece says, coal is like crack. You know, it's the cheapest, highest industrial high you're going to get. You know, Germany, I thought, was a really interesting example because we could have went a lot of places. But here is this country that you could argue is more progressive than the U.S. when it comes to climate policy. And yet they are seeing a resurgence in coal. And since they replaced nuclear, you're seeing a slight uptick in emissions.
Dina Capiello with AP. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much.
And finally, fans of Burning Man are freaking out after Grover Norquist said he'll join the party this year. The prospect of a Republican anti-tax activist in his late 50s stalking the Nevada desert event caused many to take to the internet to declare Burning Man dead. But wealthy white men of a different kind have invaded Burning Man's turf for several years. The event is now a gathering point for Silicon Valley millionaires and the tech bros who idolize them. They pay big bucks hiring people to build their costumes and camps, and they fly home on private jets. So Burning Man, Grover Norquist, maybe a match after all. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.